Good morning, drivers. This is Chaplain Bill. I'm in Louisiana today, and I'm outside, so maybe it won't be too much background noise. But first of all, let me say good morning to everyone. I hope you're having a good day wherever you're at. This is the day the Lord has made. I want to talk to you about some things today that I think will help you. And I know it's helped me. It's took me a while to learn some of these lessons. But I'm going to be reading some scripture out of Matthew chapter 12. Should have worn my shades. The sun is awful bright right here. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to chapter 12. And about verse 33 is where I'm going to start here in just a moment. Anyway, I'm going to talk today about six biblical principles for communication. And I hope it helps you out. I want to talk to you today about something that's really given me a lot of troubles over the years, and it's mostly my mouth. You can say communication. But from being a company driver, owner-operator, having to deal with dispatchers and brokers and things like that, you know how that goes sometimes. And people aren't, honest with you about some things. Don't communicate very well, and you know, kind of ever feel like that old saying, everybody's communicating, nobody's connecting, nobody's listening to you, nobody's doing what you're asking, paying any attention to you. So that's what I want to talk about. You know, it's when you're talking to your dispatcher, seems like, you know, if you live in Ohio, you run Texas all the time. If you live in Louisiana like I did, still do actually, I ran Pennsylvania all the time. I used to tell my dispatcher, so look, I want to go to LA, not PA. And he seemed to have a problem with that. But, you know, I'd get aggravated about things. I'd get aggravated with him not listening and not trying to help me out. And I usually just made things worse when I did that. So I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Well, I've learned a few things, like, you know, we're going to give an account for these things. Over in 2 Corinthians, it says about chapter 5 that one day we're going to stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, and we're going to give an account for the things that we've done as Christians. After we've been born again, we're going to give an account for the things that we've done, things that we've said. I'm fixing to read that in just a moment in Matthew chapter 12. So if you have a Bible, I want you to open it up. If you're going down the road, just keep looking down the road. I'll try to talk loud enough you can hear me good. But we're going to give an account for these things. So if we're going to deal with people and talk to people, we got to be like Amos said, you know, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And that was always my problem, my dispatcher, trying to get him to agree, to get on the right page with me. But you know, over in Matthew, let me read this scripture to you. Jesus gives us some advice, tells us some things that we need to do. But in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But listen to this verse 36. It's one that gets me. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty strong stuff right there. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. Help us, Lord, to apply this to our lives. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, first of all, for your goodness and your mercy, for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for giving us a copy of your word, and I ask you to help us today that we would apply it to our lives, we would live in accordance to your word, Lord, but help us as we rub elbows with people out in the world, Lord, we let our light shine for you, that we can say things that's pleasing to you, Lord, and I just ask you to speak to our hearts today and help us, Lord, to be bold communicators of the gospel, that we might bring you honor and glory. Father, I pray most of all for someone out there today that they don't know that forgiveness of sin, Lord, they don't know what it's like to be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I ask you, Lord, that you would help them today. They might realize that you love them. They might come to know you personally. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And let me just say, drivers, I'm going to talk to you about some things that I've learned over the years. And let me just give you an idea, for those of you who don't know. I was blessed to be married to my first wife for 34 years before the Lord took her home. And I learned a lot about communication. I've been married to Miss Nancy now for 2 years. And most of you know, she was a high school teacher, and she is always trying to teach me something. And so I've learned a lot, and mostly how to say yes, ma'am. Chaplain David knows what I'm talking about. You have to say yes, ma'am a lot. But I love you, Miss Donna, but we still got to say yes, ma'am. So if you're like I was, and if you're thinking maybe you, I had a really serious problem with this. I didn't like people telling me what to do. I guess that's why I became an owner-operator, mostly because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And but I didn't realize at the time when I first became an owner-operator and eventually had more trucks and employees and whatnot, that I was going to have to just learn how to communicate. I couldn't just tell everybody, you do it because I said so. That's what my daddy did. I thought that's what everybody ought to do. Whenever I said so, that settled it. Didn't seem to work out that way. So it was really tough, and I want to give you a scripture over in Ephesians before I really get into the message, to know that the Lord works in our lives, and He wants to do these things in our lives. And there's a passage here, just a verse really that gets me, but He's talking about being rooted and grounded in love and faith in Ephesians chapter 3. But He says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, now in Him that is able to do, listen to this, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, God can do things in your life that you can't even imagine right now. But it says at the end of that verse, it says, according to the power that worketh in us. So I just want to ask you, what power are you allowing to work in you? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you? Are you submitting to the Holy Spirit that He might lead and guide you, that He might help you, that He might give you the words to say? Or do we submit to some other spirit? Do we submit to self? We want what we want. So I want you to keep in mind that there's always hope. There's always hope when we take the Word of God literally and literally apply it to our life. God can and will work in and through us. So we need to understand that the tongue, the things that we say, it's kind of like what James said over in chapter 3. He talked about how the tongue was so small. It was such a small thing, but yet it could create and kindle such a great fire. It's kind of like the truck you drive. Most of you out there are drivers. You're driving a truck maybe 75 foot long. Some of you a lot longer than that. 80,000 pounds or heavier. And you're guiding this big, huge, large vehicle down the road with a little bitty steering wheel in comparison to the rest of the vehicle. And I must say that the drivers do a fantastic job. You know that when you compare the rates of accidents, and all drivers are actually, for the miles driven, we have the least accidents on the highway. But y'all do a good job, and I want you to keep it up. But I want you to think about, you have that small steering wheel, and you can guide that truck, you can guide it to go in the right direction in good places, backing into small spots, or it can be used in a bad way. You can steer it in a direction you don't need to go. And we've had that happen over the years where people have enough and they just want to maybe run over somebody. Well, I want to encourage you that you use your steering wheel in a good, positive way and make lots of dollars. But the tongue is the same way. We can use our tongue for good things. We can also use our tongue for bad things. So, you know, the tongue is like, when you think about this, a 200-pound man, in comparison with a tongue, a little small member of the body, can say some things to really get us in trouble. We can use that tongue to cause lots of problems for ourselves. So I know you understand what I'm saying, and I want to talk to you about that. So this is what Jesus tells us here. Matthew, He tells us that we are going to give an account. And that verse here, you know, He says what comes out of the heart, it comes out of the abundance of the heart. In other words, what you put in is what's going to come out. And if you put in garbage all day long and you're listening to things you don't need to be listening to, maybe on the radio, XM radio or something like that, you're thinking bad thoughts, you're mad at your dispatcher, you want to just beat him up every time you see him. If you have those kind of thoughts constantly going through your mind, when you speak, you're going to speak in a way that's not going to lift up anybody. It's going to be discouraging. It's going to be harmful. So what we put in is very important. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But he goes on to say that every idle word, I want you to think about that, every idle word, everything you just kind of mouthing off and it doesn't really amount to anything, but it really means the word idle can be translated as that idle word as gossip. And we all know what gossip's like. And the Bible says that you're going to give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So you're going to give account of the gossip, the things that you say. And it says, verse 37, for by thy words, what you say, how you react, how you say things back to people, how you start the conversation, you're going to give an account by your words. Thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So either you're going to be justified or condemned based on your own words. And so it's very important that we use words that are going to be edifying and help people out, but it's also going to help us out. That day we stand before the Lord, we want to be able to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we have said things to glorify Him and to edify Him and encourage others. So I want to give you six biblical principles for communication. And if you're sitting still at a truck stop somewhere, you can write this down. I would encourage you to write it down. I'm just going to give you some scripture references. A lot of it's in Ephesians, but it's kind of all over the place. And but number one, and it's not necessarily in any particular order, but I found this number one is very important to me, that I think about this before I say something, especially pertaining to gossip and things that you hear, most especially for if you're driving for a company, you're driving for a large company, and you get all that junk goes on inside the office and it gets out there and drivers, and it just creates more problems. And so I just want to encourage you to, before you say anything or maybe mouth off, or you say, well, I'm going to straighten them out, find out, is it really true? Number one, is it really true? Do I really have all the facts? Let me give you a verse out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now think about this. It's saying, no corrupt communication out of your mouth. So we need to be careful, because it's not just, you know, we say we need to talk right and all. It's not just curse words. It's not just foul language. Things that we say, we need to know that we have the facts, that we're saying the right thing. It's kind of like in Proverbs, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 18, I believe verse 13, but it says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame. In other words, if you answer something before you hear everything, the Bible basically says you're being a fool. We should have the information. We should know what we're saying. It's kind of like on an everyday basis, if you go to tell somebody something, and then somebody cuts you off, especially if you're married. Let's just do this. Now, I've been married for 36 years now, a combination. And so I want to ask you this. Has your wife ever cut you off whenever you were saying something and, like, finished your sentence? But yet she didn't really finish your sentence, because she didn't know exactly what you were going to say. Now, if that's ever happened to you, it irritates you. I promise you it irritates you. I know it does me. Also, if you do that to somebody else, you're irritating them, and so you're messing up the conversation. You're messing up the communication. You're stopping the flow. So you need to hear a matter before you say something about it. You need to know what the truth is, what the facts are, and let them finish what they're saying. Let me just say this. Nancy and I have six children. Excuse me. We have 19 grandchildren. And if you cut them off and they're trying to talk, you really can agitate your children, especially when they're younger, when they're 5 and 6 and 10 and 12, and they're trying to tell you something when they come in from school, and they're trying to communicate something with you. You just blow them off like it's not important. And in the big scheme of things, it may not be that important, But to them it is. And when you cut them off and you just stop them from speaking what's on their mind and their heart, you're breaking down every day, little by little, you're breaking down that communication, and you're building a wall, a barrier between you and your child. And I just want to encourage you, listen, I don't know everything about raising kids. I wish I had known the things I know now when I had my first one. But I do know I've learned some things, and just cutting your kids off and treating them like what they say, the things that they're concerned about at school, or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it might be, we act like it's not important. It is important. It's important to them. So, Daddy, let me encourage you to listen. Mamas too, but it seems like daddies have a problem with listening, because we say, "Hey, it's what I said. It's what we're gonna do. Enough. Quit talking about it." And that's kind of where we go. So, I want to encourage you to listen, not do that. To not answer a matter before you hear everything. It's not very wise for husbands and wives to do that. So we need to say things that's going to edify. If you know the truth about a matter, we'll get to saying things. You can tell the truth. You always need to tell the truth, because you tell it in love. So you can say things to people that sometimes are hard things. I've had to fire some people whenever I had my own little company, and I had to fire some. I didn't like that. I hired those people, and I didn't want to fire them. I got to know their families, their wives, their children. I don't want to fire them, but they had a job to do. And if they didn't do their job, eventually they were going to get fired. And so it's hard to do this. It's hard to fire somebody, but yet sometimes it's necessary. So I just want to encourage you that when you say things, to say things in a way, as this verse says, to minister grace to the hearers. You want to try to edify at all possible in any way that you can. So. We're going to know all the facts. Ask yourself, do I really have all the facts before you move on? Number two, is what I would like to say profitable? In other words, will it help or will it hurt? Is it constructive or is it destructive? Is it really going to make a positive influence? Let me give you a verse here. Proverbs 20:15. There's gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. In other words, gold and rubies, that's great, but lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Let me give you this thought. This is something to think about. When you know that you're right about something, and you want to get the truth out, you want to get your point across, but we still have to be careful that sometimes we don't hurt, like I was talking about our kids, we don't hurt them. So let me read this verse here in Romans chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." So in other words, we sometimes have to think about who we're dealing with when we go to say something. We don't want to say something that's just going to beat them down and beat them up. We got to remember that we want to lift them up. We want to encourage them. You know, you get a lot more out of people with some sugar and something sweet than you can just being mean and talking rough. I know before Christ, if somebody talked mean and rough to me, I talked mean and rough back to them, and then I turned my back on them. I didn't have to listen to it. And you don't really get anywhere like that. So we need to be sure that what we're saying is profitable. It's going to be constructive. Let me give you a verse out of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Again, let no corrupt communication. Now listen, this is more than just cussing, okay? I don't like to hear foul language. Matter of fact, Chaplain Joe, we had to say a lot, and we have some, matter of fact, we have some tracts that says God's last name is not damn. And so I don't like to hear that, and I'm sure you don't either, but we say things that we call curse words, swear words, but I'm talking about more than that. You can say the right words and still hurt somebody. So it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, in other words, to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we want to say things in a positive manner, and we want to build it. It's kind of like in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about dads, fathers, to not provoke your children. Don't provoke your children. Push them up against the wall to where now they've got to say something smart aleck, or they've got to come back with something, or they feel like they do, to defend themselves. Don't provoke them. You don't want to necessarily push their buttons. And I know that's a fine line in trying to make all that work out, but I just want to encourage you that there's things that we can say that are the right words, but we say them in a bad way, and I'll probably get into more of that later. But it's kind of like, okay, you've been out on the road for 3 weeks, and you go home, and things have happened at home, and you know how it is. Things happen at home, and you're not there to help, whether it's the husband out or the wife out, whichever one's on the road. Most of the time, you know, the husband's gone, and mama's trying to take care of the kids. You go home, and everything's lovey-dovey for a day or two, and then the aggravation and all the things that go on with that. And you have a little confrontation with your spouse. And instead of working things out and talking in a low tone and saying, well, baby, you know, I love you. No matter what, I just want you to know I love you. Well, most of the time we don't do that. We wind up, maybe we're going out the door, or the wife says something like that. You say, well, I love you too. Well, that's not quite the same thing. I mean, if you're yelling at somebody, even though you say, I love you too, that's not the same thing if you're yelling at them. So that's what I'm saying. We need to be careful about how we communicate and things that we say. And it's more than just curse words. Now, I would encourage you not to say those curse words either. But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Let me give you another one. Number three. Is this the proper time for me to say it? Okay, would it be better for me to wait till later? I mean, there's times, like, I know for me, if I was out on the road and my dispatch had been rubbing me wrong the last 3 or 4 days and I was headed towards the office, when I got there, I didn't want to get there at midnight. I wanted to get there while he was there, because we were going to have a talk face to face. And I've learned that's not always the best thing to do. You do need to have a talk, but you need to make sure it's the proper time. Now, if you go in there and he's trying to do his job and he's working or whatever's going on, and you interrupt him, and so you don't have a good conversation. So we need to be careful about the timing of the things that we say, especially if it's something very important. Let me give you a verse in Proverbs 15, verse 23. It says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? So be careful to speak when a person's heart is tender to what you want to teach, what you're trying to say, what you're trying to get across, most especially with your children, but even with your dispatcher. You know, catch him at a time. You know, maybe you say some other things before just jumping on him. His mind's somewhere else, and you jump on it. I mean, just say this, husbands and wives, whenever you walk in the door and your wife has been at home taking care of the kids, or maybe she's been at work and then at home taking care of the kids. Unfortunately, most women work and the husband's working too. Everybody's working trying to make a dollar to survive in this world. So you're living two different lives, at least for 8 or 10 hours, or maybe for a couple of weeks when you're gone like that. So you don't know every little detail that's went on in their lives. So you have to be considerate of the other person. What frame of mind are they in? Where are they at that day whenever you meet them? So don't just come because you've been meditating on something, you're all ramped up, and you're going to tell them all these wonderful things that you've been trying to get across. Not really wonderful sometimes. Be careful about the timing of what you say. Let me give you another proverb. I love to read Proverbs. Matter of fact, if you'll read Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Whatever the date is, today is September the 8th, just read the 8th chapter of Proverbs. If you'll read Proverbs every day, there's so much wisdom in Proverbs about how to communicate, what to do with your money, how to handle situations, practical everyday things. I mean, there's things in Proverbs like, man, it says in Proverbs sometimes that you just need to go to the woods. You know, get your shotgun, go to the woods, and go hunt up a squirrel or deer or something. Just get out of the house. So why you want to stay in the house with a Well, the cantankerous and a brawling woman. That's in the Bible. The Bible makes a lot of sense. You ought to just read it sometimes. So what I want to encourage you to do is read Proverbs every day. Whatever the date is, read a chapter out of Proverbs. Matter of fact, if you want to be excited about who you are in Christ and what the church is doing, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. Read a chapter out of the book of Acts every day when you get through with your Proverbs and see that we serve a God who's able to perform miracles and wants to work in your life. We serve a God that's in the saving business. Read something out of the book of Acts every day. I tell you something else while I'm talking about that. There's 150 chapters in Psalms, and you can read 5 chapters out of Psalms every day, and every month you'll read the book of Psalms. And there's so much in the book of Psalms that'll help you, console you, and you'll realize, because King David wrote most of them, that he messed up, and he didn't know what was going on. He'd go to God, cry, and pray, and God would encourage him and strengthen him. And I tell you, the book of Psalms helped me so much when I lost my first wife, and I just want to encourage you to get in the Word of God and realize that this is God's love letter to you. He loves you. He cares about you. And He wants to communicate with us. So get in the book of Proverbs every day. It says in Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous, in other words, you're right with God. You want to serve God. You want to keep Him happy. You want to do what you can to honor Him. But it says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. We don't want to be like that. People that just spout off stuff because they're just spouting off. It's kind of like the CB Rambos out there, and they're out there. Maybe you're one of them. Well, I'm just going to tell you real quick, this is very blunt. That's not cool. Why do you want to be a CB Rambo? Don't be a CB Rambo. I hope and pray you're not, but if you are, you need to deal with that problem. There's a lot of CB Rambos out there, and they don't accomplish anything. They don't make anything better. They don't encourage anybody. They just irritate everybody, and most people are just laughing at it. So don't be a CB Rambo. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Let me give you another proverb, Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So we want to say things that are good. We want to say things that's going to help and build up. And it matters what we put in. So I want to encourage you that you be careful about what you put in, because it's going to come out. Now, I've been on here 30 minutes, and I'm just in chapter number 3. Number 3. Remember, this is the proper time for me to say it. Is this the proper time for me to say it? It would be better for me to wait till later. Let me do this. There's no way I want to get through these next 3 points in just a few minutes, because I got a lot I want to share. As a matter of fact, I want to talk about attitude, and I'll just do that next week, because attitude is so important. Attitude is like my daddy always said. Son, he said, attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go nowhere until you change it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been on the side of the road, especially with a steer tire flat. You can't go nowhere. You got to change it. And so I want to encourage you that we have the right attitude. And let me just say this. And Jesus said, or was talking about Jesus in the book of Philippians, I think it's chapter 2, verse 5, but it said that we should have the mind of Christ. The word mind could literally be translated attitude. So what kind of attitude did Jesus Christ have? Basically, it was not my will, but thine be done. But he was in the garden. He said, Father, if you could let this cup pass from me, let it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So that's the attitude we need to have. Have the attitude that Christ had and do the Father's will. So the only way we can do that, the only way we can really have our attitude changed is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And driver, I just want to ask you, have you ever been filled with the Spirit of God? Have you ever received what Christ has done for you? You know, you can receive Him, and it's so simple, it's so easy. It's not cheap. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt, my sin debt, with His precious blood. He paid for that because He loved us. Listen, God just wants to have a relationship with His creation. He loves us and He wants a relationship. That's what it's all about. Read it from Genesis to Revelation. It's about having a relationship with us, but He wants us to choose. All the way back to the garden, He wants us to choose to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to want to talk to Him. He wants us to want to walk with Him. I mean, who wants to be with somebody that don't want you around? You don't want that. You want to be with somebody that you want to be with. That's what God wants with us. He wants us. But Jesus Christ came and he paid the sin debt to reconcile us to Jesus Christ, and I mean to the Lord, and so that we could be together and have that fellowship and that relationship. But you know, there's only one way that that can happen. We have to accept what Jesus Christ has already done for us on Calvary's cross. And you know, if you've never prayed and asked Christ to be Lord of your life, received Him as Lord and Savior. Some of y'all have heard my testimony. I wasn't born a preacher or a chaplain. I was born a sinner saved by His amazing grace. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, as Lord, man, He wants to bless you. Okay, He'll bless your socks off if you'll just let Him, if you'll just follow Him. So I want to pray a little simple prayer with you, and just lead you in this prayer. If you've never prayed and received Christ and accepted what He's done on Calvary's cross, that you could have eternal life, I want to share this with you. Because the book of Romans says, look, all we have to do, in Romans 10, it says, is to believe it in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe it in your heart. You believe that He is the Son of God. You believe that He died on the cross for you. You believe that He was dead for 3 days, but He beat death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. On the third day, He was resurrected. And on the third day, he proved who He was, that He could overcome death. And then you receive that, you accept that. You know what you do? The Bible says that you receive it in your heart, and then you tell everybody. You confess it with your mouth, is what the Bible says. So whenever you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you confess that, you start by prayer and asking God to forgive you, to receive you as His child. You do that. Then you begin to follow Him, and you go out and tell everybody about Jesus. You talk about Him, and be led by His Spirit. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful life, folks. I don't regret coming to know Christ at all. It's the greatest thing ever happened. And driver, if you're out there, listen, I want to lead you this prayer. You don't have to close your eyes, bow your head, especially if you're driving. If you're driving down the highway and you're doing 70 mile an hour, you got a big truck, you just keep doing 70 mile an hour. Pray with your eyes wide open. See what's going on, but God can hear you. He can save you in a moment, even at 70 miles an hour. So let me just help you. It's not the prayer that saves you, but it's what you're saying to Jesus, because He's the one that saves you. Trust Him. So just say something like this. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son and that He died on the cross, was raised from the dead, because I have sinned and need forgiveness. I ask Jesus to forgive me. I ask Jesus to come into my heart, fill me with His Spirit. I'm willing to change the direction of my life. I want to repent of the things that I've done, the direction I've been going, whatever that is in your life. Most of all, not following Jesus. Say, I want to repent. I want to follow Jesus. I accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross that I might have eternal life. And I want to live for You, Jesus. I ask You to lead me, to guide me, to show me Your ways. Help me to learn as I study Your Word. I say, dear Jesus, thank You for saving me. Thank You for giving me eternal life. Accept what the Bible says, driver. Jesus said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's why I ask you right now, thank Him for saving me. And simply pray all of this in the matchless, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Before you go, driver, I want to ask you, if you would, to message us on Facebook, on our Facebook page. Give us a call on our prayer line. Call us in the office. Chaplain David would love to talk to you. We want to give you some more information, some things to help you study, to understand what happens whenever you receive Christ, whenever you come into this awareness that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's just the beginning. That's just the first step. And you're saved. Yes, you're saved. But to walk with Christ, to be a witness for Him, to be able to say the right things and talk to people, it's a process of learning who you are in Christ, the promises we have before Him. And let me just give you this. In Revelation, it tells us they overcame Him, talking about the devil. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, which means they got saved. And it says, and the word of their testimony. So if you prayed that prayer with me today, you want to tell everybody. So you start by calling the office, talking to Chaplain David, or sending us a message on Facebook. Or you can even email me at bblackman@truckstopministries.org. Email me direct if you want to. But you need to start talking about what Jesus has done in your life. Do it at the shipper. Do it at the truck stop. Wherever you're at, tell people what God has done for you in his life. Tell your family what God has done for you. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Stay safe out there. Be careful.